For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to this edition of Believe in Grizzlies. Today I have Terry Davis. He covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the New Tri-State Defender. Hi, Terry. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Okay, let's get into it about these Grizzlies. What are your thoughts on the Grizzlies' current situation, losing 6 of 7 after winning 11 in a row?
In my opinion, I think what they're doing, they're just trying to maintain their position, maintain a top three spot, and just get to the playoff and get to the playoff healthy. But because it seems like they turn it on when they want to turn it on. You can feel when they have energy and when they don't have energy in the shows, and they don't come out there and play with energy for 48 minutes every night.
What are the deficiencies in your estimation? What's going on right now?
I think what they're trying to do, I think that they lack where they are, and they just trying to not to get hurt. They're not trying to get, you know, overly, you know, they want to go to the postseason as healthy as they can be. And I don't think it's something they're not doing. I feel like they feel like they can turn it on whenever they want to turn it on. Because, like, for example, in the Indiana game, you know, Taylor Jenkins played Ja and Jaren for like almost 40 minutes. And then they won a game. And that's almost like a playoff-type game. Because these 82 regular season games is going to be totally different when you get in the playoff. And if they start playing 40 minutes a game, you know, in the playoff, they're not going to lose some of these games they're losing.
Last night game was a disaster that the team should have won.
Yeah.
What do you think went wrong? For me, I think that late in the game, instead of them going back to Jaren Jackson Jr., when he had no one really to guard him, where he was getting anything that he wanted, I just don't understand why sometimes it's just like he's invisible on offense, and I don't get it. Pete and Brevin talk about it all the time. People are talking about it. I just don't get it. Why sometimes they just don't use him like they should.
You know, it might not be a fact that they using him like he should. Maybe he's not being the one aggressive and putting himself in a position to do that. Because in the third quarter, he dominated. He was going to the rack on a regular basis, and he wasn't asking or looking for the ball in the fourth quarter. And Memphis, they don't normally get ran out of the building in the fourth quarter, especially at home, because they have one of the best home court records in the league. And to see them lose a game like that, you know, is kind of depressing. That's the second game they've lost at home they shouldn't have lost. That game and the Sacramento game, those two losses they shouldn't have at home.
But here's the thing. It's just like when there were plenty of times where Jaren was calling for the ball and they wasn't seeing him, even in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
I don't know, you know, because a lot of these guys are not, what you call it, they're not stat happy, because Ja was stuck on 9 rebounds for a triple-double for 2.5 quarters, and he didn't get his triple-double. So those guys are not chasing stats. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's just they didn't see him or the game plan. Well, you know, because Taylor Jenkins got this let-it-fly mentality, and sometimes the let-it-fly mentality doesn't have a focus on the inside. Because even with Steven Adams and Brandon Clark's points, most of their points are garbage points. It's not designed for them to get the ball and go in like that.
Okay, so why do you think Jenkins don't make game adjustments at times? You know, like I'm not an NBA coach or a player, and I just don't understand why he doesn't see what we see. It just seems like he just make no adjustments. But I think the adjustment he made in the Indiana game, where he wanted to stop the bleeding and wanted them to like stop losing, where he played Ja 40 minutes, played Jaren 38 minutes because he really wanted to win that game. But it just seemed like he just make no adjustments at times.
You know Memphis is one of the best third quarter teams in the league. They have they're some of their best quarters in the third quarter. That's because they go in and look at film and make those adjustments, and then they start doing the thing that they weren't doing in the first half and doing that way. Now last night you just got to get Dame Dollar credit, man. He just went off, and when he went off and he got downhill, Memphis just couldn't stop him. Because when Memphis built that 10-point lead, when I think it was tied at 77-77, and then Memphis pulled off 66-67 now, then Memphis pulled off 10 straight points. I thought Memphis was going to run off with it then, but they started hitting those impossible shots, and they started hit, you know, Anthony Simmons hit a big three, Dame hit a big three. I think they just made shots at the right time, and the Grizzlies weren't able to answer them last night.
Right, but they kept shooting threes that
Right.
they were missing.
Right.
And I just don't understand. It's just like my that's the adjustment that's I was talking about. Why don't he just tell them, you know, get the best shot, not go for a three? But it's just like it seems like that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think that's their mentality, and that's just what he's gonna live with. Because one of the biggest weaknesses of the Grizzlies is perimeter defense on the edge. You know, Dylan is good on ball, but Memphis is probably one of the worst 3-point defending teams in the league. So, but how they get out of that is not letting you take the 3-pointers by forcing you into a turnover. But when they do let you give a 3-point out, those teams really burn Memphis on the 3-pointer, and that's their biggest weakness on this team. Not 3-point shooting, but three-point defending, in my opinion.
Okay, do you think the team will make a trade at the deadline? Like
Nope.
for me,
Nope.
weeks before the trade deadline stuff is my least favorite part of the NBA. It's frequently drive me nuts. I'm like, really? Are y'all serious right now with some of these trades they come up with? Money don't match, things don't match, and they're just trying to get rid of everybody. It just seemed like
Put it this way. Over the last 4 years, have Zach Kleiman ever made a big trade at the deadline?
not really.
And do you think Zach Kleiman gonna sacrifice his future when he think this is a team that can get him there?
I have no idea because like people making up stuff, but they just really don't know what Zach Kleiman is going to do.
Exactly.
Cause like even one of the articles I read, I was like, well, Memphis really don't, you know, let anybody if they do something, it's just like nobody's gonna know about it. And
Exactly.
then
Exactly.
cause like people get information from other executives. Really? I'm just like, I don't
Yeah.
know.
They get them from other executives and other those agents. The agents talk to them too. And that's one thing about Memphis agents. They will talk to some people, but Zach ain't talking to the agents until he has to talk to the agent.
Right. So you just don't, you just think they're gonna stay where they're at.
Yeah, I really do, because when Memphis acquired Danny Green, they acquired him for his outside shooting for the playoff, because they felt the only thing that was missing from this team was consistent outside shooting. You know, Desmond Bane has consistently been good, and Danny Green has a history of being good. Now, the two, the I thought the two rookies, I thought Jake LaRiver will be better than he is. And I don't think he play David Roddy enough, in my opinion. I think he plays Santi more than he plays Xavier. I mean, Xavier more than he plays Roddy. And I think Roddy is actually better than Zaire this year. I don't know why it is, but they still trying to run Zaire out there. You know, Santi has been consistent. You know,
Right.
he's another Brandon Clark. He's going to get you 8 to 10, and he's going to play defense. But between Roddy and Zaire, those are two I think he's mismatching, because they really want Zaire to do really, really well because of where they drafted him at. But I think David Roddy is so much better to him right now, you know, on the game to game. And now Zaire may be better in the playoff, but I think David Roddy is better right now. I think he surpasses Zaire, in my opinion.
And then to me it's like Jake LaRavia, it's like
Oh,
before he got sick,
yeah.
I mean, he was just shooting the lights out the ball. I mean, I just don't know what happened. Then after that, it just seemed like he lost his confidence.
Yeah, but he go down to the Memphis Hustle and pop out 34 like it's nothing.
And
it's,
then when he come back,
he's scared.
Like,
to let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he has been my biggest disappointment. You know, I'm not saying he's a bust.
Right.
But I expected more out of him. I expected him to be the stretch three, four for them. You know, the three-pointer and all that. Just come in, just hit three like Steve Kerr used to do.
Okay. We see the importance of having Steven Adams since he's out for an extended period of time. Is he a long-term future for the Grizzlies? Because some people think like, well, we need to get, you know, Steven Adams not the part of the long-term future. But has the team said that? Or is it just us? Has the team said he's not part of their long-term future?
The team ain't saying nothing. You know.
They extended him. They extended him. So is it just like fans and media people, you know, just saying it? What goes?
I got this. When Steven first came here, everyone said, oh, that's a bad trade, throwing us down to New Orleans. Now that Steven here, and the little thing that Steven does, Steven is not only team security. He screams his butt off for Ja to take all those body blows off of Ja. Mm-hmm. He's a rebounding machine, and he's the ultimate garbage man. He gets all the garbage points. He can't shoot free throws, but he gonna get you some garbage points. And because, you know, Steven Adams is not an offensive guy. So if you get 10 to 12 points out of Steven, that's a bonus. If you get 10 to 12 to 15 to 20 rebounds out of him, that's what you expect from Steven. And he is the hardened, you know, he takes so much pressure off of two players in particular. Jaren, because he keeps Jaren out of the paint, so Jaren will get fouls, and he protects and hope to open them for Ja. So his presence alone is worth the cost that he's getting.
Right, and it's Jaren was on the Chris Vernon show, and he was, you know, just like saying how much he missed Steve-O or whatever, and then he was like, you know, he missed him and things like that. And then he said he told him that he owed him and all that. And it's just like, I just think that he's a player that's going to be there maybe long term. He just got an extension. And I think that they just going to keep him regardless of what people want or whatever. It's just like he's in this team future.
And he doesn't cost you a lot of money. You know, he don't cost you a $30 million or $20 million. You know, for what he gets, I think he's happy for what he gets because he knows he's a middle of the road type player. But his presence alone makes this team so much better. That's how come, you know, I don't get upset with when the team loses as much as they do, because I think what they're trying to do, they're trying to get ready and to be as healthy as they can for playoffs. Because if this team is completely healthy in the playoffs, who really scares you in the NBA with this team? Because there's really no runaway team this year. Who scares you?
Right.
You know, because they've proven they can play with any team in the league. They've proven they can beat any team in the league. And that's just in the regular seasons. Because, like, if they hadn't had a back-to-back game, I think they would play the game last night a little bit different. But I think they didn't want to do like they did last week, blow everything they had in the Phoenix game and wound up losing the Sacramento game because they had a back-to-back.
Okay, let's preview tonight's game on TNT against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Jaren Jackson Jr. is listed as doubtful due to right thigh soreness.
Yeah,
He was visibly limping last night. Hopefully, it's not a long-term issue. So this game is a back-to-back. Cleveland has two of the best bigs in the league. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a tough one if Jaren doesn't play. You know, he's doubtful, but I'm thinking he's not going to play.
But what you need to do is, you know, we forget about Desmond Bane. You know, just came back. So he wasn't what he was before he went out. If he go out and hit five to six threes tomorrow night and stretch everybody out, I mean tonight against Cleveland, that would really help the Memphis. And I think Ja might go for 40 tonight because he hadn't gone for 40 for a while. So I think tonight might be Ja night.
What about the rebounding numbers? Would Tillman and Clark be able to handle Mobley and I know that guy's name. Oh my goodness. With the afro. I can't think of his name. Oh, my God. What's the man's name with Cleveland? Evan Mobley and
I know you're talking about us. You got me.
Damn, I can't think of his name.
Because he always hurt. That's why you can't remember his name.
He's not hurt. He's been there.
Star with a W. Star with a W.
It's not a... Man, But anyways, I love that dude, Afro. But yeah, I just think it's going to be tough, you know, with the rebounding numbers and everything. But David Tillman been doing a good job, but... Yeah, I just think that it may not be a winnable game, and Donovan Mitchell is back.
But you know what? You know, Memphis played, if I'm not mistaken, when they played here, you know, Jaren played, and Memphis pretty much controlled that game. You talking about Jared Allen?
Yeah, Jared Allen. Okay. Yeah, I couldn't think of that man lame for nothing.
I know. Yeah, because his fro looks nice. I saw, you know, last year when they was at the All-Star game, he had it all puffed out and all that. But I think if Memphis plays their best game and Cleveland play their best game, even with Jaren Jackson not playing, and that's not saying he's out, but I think they can beat him without Steven and Jaren out there. Because I think Brandon will get his 10, and I think they will be more efficient offensively with Dillon and Dez, and because Danny Green will not play tonight. So yes. I think it'd be better because Roddy would get you some points inside. So I think Memphis would just outscore Cleveland.
So you think so? But I don't know. It's gonna be a tough one. It's the second night of a back to back, and they playing Cleveland at home. Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. I don't know.
But you know, they actually got something to prove too. They also got something to prove because this team is not good on the road. There are two games under 500 on the road, and they have got to get this road thing figured out. Because even in second place in the West, you know, eventually if you don't get the first place, you won't have to have a road series against somebody. So even though they got the second seed and they have the first two rounds at home, mm-hmm. you know, you want to prove to people that you can win on the road, even though regular season is a whole lot different than postseason because, you know, they're going on the road today with no rest. And the postseason, you're going to go on the road with like maybe 1 or 2 days rest, sometimes 3 days rest. So they need to win on the road because they need to improve their stock.
Okay, speaking of Jaren Jackson Jr., what are your thoughts on that crazy Reddit conspiracy, and then you think it messes with his chances of becoming a defensive player of the year?
You know, haters gonna hate, and I actually think it's gonna improve his chances because once they went through and looked at the numbers, you know, they figured out the numbers were, you know, you're not gonna get every number right because, you know, if you sure you're gonna have some home cooking because, like, when you go on the road, you're gonna have some bad books on the road. So I think they balance out. So the ones you get favorable at home, you're going to lose a couple of those on the road. So I think they balance out. And he has been a defensive machine because he's right now, he's not eligible to be in the defensive rankings yet. He's hovering around it. So I think in about 3 games, he will be finally eligible to be because he missed those 16 games. Mm-hmm. He'd be eligible to be considered as part of the best statistical leaders in the league. I think he like some percentage points off of being off for the 70 games. Mm-hmm. It's less than 1 game. So hopefully, I think before the All-Star break, he should be in those listings. And hopefully his name will be called tonight when they list the reserves.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Yeah, I was thinking that I wanted him to be an All-Star reserve for the simple fact is Draymond Green numbers been like, he might have like a few more rebounds than him or whatever, but he has been like on All-Star teams based on his defense alone.
Right. Exactly.
And then I don't know if coaches are looking at this or whatever. We know Ja's going to make it. Okay. So here with me, I have a conspiracy. I'm usually not the one with conspiracy. Do you think that it was crazy that Ja Morant didn't get as nearly as much many votes as he received last season? And plus, he's like, in jersey sales, he's like number 9. Mm-hmm. And people are buying Grizzlies merchandise or whatever. Do you think people actually did not vote for Ja Morant to be a starter in the All-Star game? I just don't get that. I question the numbers.
I question the numbers as well, because I expect Steph to be what he's doing,
Right.
and Luka, you know, Luka is
Luka is a forward.
yeah. Now he actually is a point guard,
I
because
know he's a point guard, but that man a forward, but
he's a big point guard, but he's a point guard because, yeah, I think Ja, I don't know what they doing or not. Ja gonna make the All-Star team. I have no doubt about it. No
right.
problem. But
Now if he don't make the All-Star team, that'll be just like just the that would just be just so messed up.
If Ja don't make the All-Star team, woo, man, it's gonna be some talk show guys going crazy, because Ja will make it. And back to Draymond Green, the reason Draymond made it, because it's all about the rings, because they wanted to reward those three guys for getting all those rings. And he was getting that because of past, you know, not the current, because of the rings they got. You know,
But
him.
usually, but mostly the coaches chose him.
That's why they rewarded him for being a championship caliber. And that's one thing why I wanted Memphis to be the number one team coming out of the West for the All-Star game. Not only Taylor would be the coach, but two, maybe three guys would have been on there, because if you're the number one team in your conference, you're not just going to have one player on the All-Star team.
Right.
But if you're
So.
the number two team, you know, they can slight you with one person, you know.
Right.
And so that's my conspiracy. If you at the top, you would have Jaren and maybe Dez in the game.
Yeah, but Dez, I think Dez, if Dez hadn't, had not have missed those extended games,
Right.
he most definitely would have been an all-star.
Exactly. Because he plays like, and another thing too, and you know, I'm the favorite hated Grizzly. You know who I'm gonna talk about?
Dylan.
Dylan. I don't know why people hate Dylan Brooks so much. Dylan, you know, he don't take bad shots. Now, early in the season, he was taking some bad shots, but you know, he's not scoring the 20, 30 points. But it's kind of hard to score all those points when you being defensive guy also. You know, people, I don't know what the hate is for Dylan. Do you know? Can you help me out with that?
Well, sometimes I just feel like his shot be ill-advised at times. And then like when other people, but here's the thing for me. I'm thinking when John Morant is off the court, if you have Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane on the court, Dylan Brooks should be your third option.
Yeah, he should.
That's just plain and simple. And I think that sometimes when Dylan selling for threes, I think he just when he they're not falling, I think he just need to go inside because his mid-range is good. I
Yes,
think
his
he
mid
need to
range, great.
just go, in a little bit. Stop shooting them threes sometimes. But it's just the team scheme where they just shoot a lot of three-point shots. And
You're
it just
absolutely right.
seems like they don't value the two-pointer at times. Take the best shot. That's what I think they should do. But again, I am not the coach. I am not on the coaching staff. I don't have that NBA pedigree. It's just my opinion.
But you know what? You know, I me and you on the same page. You know, you remember Joe Johnson, the mid-range king? You know, he used to live in the mid-range, and he had a 17-year career in the NBA because of the mid-range. You know, a 2-point, you know, I know the analytics says it's better to shoot a three. Is it better if you don't shoot a three, shoot a layup? But 2 points is 2 points, especially when you're on a scoring slump. If you score that 2 points and getting 20, 25 points a game, I would take that all day long over all those three. That's just me.
And look how like Jaren Jackson Jr. is like really not selling for the three this year. Look how he's doing with the 2-point shots.
Exactly.
Why can't they just use that? I just don't understand. I mean, it's just weird to me. I just don't understand.
Yeah, it's all about analytics. And what makes it bad about it, I am a number guy, but I'm not a numbers nerd when it comes to basketball and football. You know, sometimes you gotta go with what it's gonna take to win. And sometimes that mid-range will make you win better, even though it's a lower percentage shot than going for that three-pointer.
Right, but hey, points on the board is points on the board.
Exactly. That's my thoughts.
Yeah.
But okay. People, they hate him. They just hate him. But you know, you got to take Dylan for what he does. You know, Dylan's going to win you 15, 20 games, but he going to lose you 3 or 4. So what you really have, 15 wins or 3 losses? I take the 15 every time.
Yeah, you take the – and then it's just like he used so much energy, you know, yes, running and trying to guard the best player on the floor. And then sometimes maybe his shot don't come. But exactly. My thing, I just don't like it when they're passed up the better – shooter scores
right
to get him 3-point shots. I don't like that.
Yeah,
and then sometimes it's just like, you know, it's what the defense gives them, but sometimes those other people be wide open and it's just so cringy at times. No, Dylan, no.
Yeah, and my over the last 5 games, I noticed it's not the starters, it's those second range of 3-point shooters that's been off. Ty's been inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Jake has been inconsistent. Zaire has been off the chain inconsistent, and David Roddy has been inconsistent. Even Santi has been inconsistent. So if those 5 guys would get more consistent on outside shots, all these close games they've been having will flip into like 10, 20-point wins.
Right. And then the free throw shooting, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. I'm afraid to ask about that question. He might hang me.
I mean, you shouldn't be afraid. That's just like this. And then it's just like you can just see that some of those games that they lost, close games that they lost, if they had a made
three, four, five free throws.
In LA.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But
and
it's just like
1 or 2 points.
And then it's okay, and like Jenkins, we've been on him about using those challenges. And yep. I'm glad the last 2 games he used them fairly early. But I was like, that game last night, I'm like, man, you should have waited to use that challenge.
I got a question for you on the challenge thing. I've been thinking about this. Do you think the NBA should move to 1 challenge per half?
Yes. I always say that. It should mm-hmm. be 1 challenge per half. Okay. Or if you win your challenge, you keep that move.
You're right. I would just rather have 2, 1 per half, because something in the first half can affect you the rest of the game. Just like if a player get a foul in the first half, mm-hmm. they get hurt when and it wasn't his foul, it affects the game for all. You know, I think they should change that rule. You know, because those challenges don't take that long, and they ain't like the NFL; they take 3 and 5 minutes. You know, just go and do that and go from there.
Right. Yeah. That's what I always said. I think it should be a challenge per half, or if you win your challenge, you should be able to keep it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's just like, as we see, the ref gets stuff wrong all the time, a lot. And then like that apology to LeBron, I'm like, what are we doing here? I don't know if they were being sarcastic or what. I don't think, what are we doing here?
Man, they doing, you know what they were doing. They were doing it because once they did it, they were going to get clicks. It's all about the clicks.
I mean, I'm just like, what are we doing here? And then it's just like, I know that game probably was important, but God, LeBron, babe, why you got to just have a temper tantrum over there? It happens almost every game where there's like crazy calls.
Yeah.
Okay. This last part, you know, it's going to be hard and difficult. Let me just talk about the Tyreek Nichols situation that's going on in Memphis right now. Mm-hmm. It's just pretty sad. Did you watch the video?
Nope.
You didn't? You didn't want to?
Nope. I know what happened.
You know what happened? I watched it.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch it. My husband watched it. My husband is a retired MPD officer.
Mm-hmm.
And it just affected him differently. And I talked to some other law enforcement. It's just sad, man.
Yeah. When I got a lot of friends as policemen, and you know, I've been talking to them before the video was released,
mm-hmm.
and they said it was bad, and they hadn't. Right. So if they say it was gonna be bad, you know, ultimately I know what happened, you know. And I know some of these people going to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, and they call them for their heads. But, you know, when you call for people's head, now, the ones who had a direct impact on that guy,
mm-hmm.
They deserve what they get. But, you know, now they going after the firemen, they going after everybody else. They trying to go after everybody. If you at that scene, you might be in trouble.
Right, because it's just like
you're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And what my husband told me, he said that the narrative that they came up with, he was like, well, they told people, well, like, well, he was fighting them and all that, which we saw in the thing that was a lie.
Right.
And he told these people this or whatever. These people who came in, you know, really didn't know what was going on. They took their word for it. You know, it's just like right. They build their narrative. But right. had not been for the Sky Cop camera, do you think we just like, man.
Or if the fact that he had not died, you wouldn't gotten to this.
Right.
Because and if he had went to the hospital and survived, then you wouldn't even have this situation.
Right. But I mean, but the camera saw everything. I mean, the Sky Cop camera. And then it's just like, there's more video. I think there's like a neighbor video of the Ring doorbell. It's just a sad situation. And then it's just like, it's just bad for the city. I mean, it's just bad. And then, you know, as we're recording today, you know, a police officer was shot. And then a suspect was shot and killed. And it's just a sad situation. And it's just crazy for our city right now.
Yeah, it is. But I'm just so glad that, you know, the city didn't do what they wanted to do, you know, because, you know, I wasn't worried about the city itself. I was worried about people come from out of town being opportunists, you know, to come out and do it, you know, rob, you know, and get and go away, because, you know, it's so much crime that's going on in the city now, you know, that and it's just so much going on. It's just everybody just needs to take a chill pill.
Right. And then it's just like but it's just like the players, you know, they said that, you know, it affected them. They've been talking about it. And I was thinking, you know, because like when, you know, I listened to Ja comments when he said, you know, he drives home, he's a father. And then I know people would think, well, that couldn't, you know, happen to him, but it has happened to NBA players before.
Yeah.
Where they were stopped in Sterling Brown. Mm-hmm. Thabo Sefolosha. I mean, they, you know, got settlements from, you know, the city of Milwaukee, the city of New York.
Right.
I mean, it don't matter who you are, it can happen to you.
Yeah, that's true. It can happen. It can happen to anybody at any time. You know, and you could be doing the right thing and just be at the wrong place, facing the wrong officer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, some people try to say that, you know, all officers are bad. I know that's not true.
No, because
my husband was one, and, you know, I have friends and people who I talk to, who I work with, who are in law enforcement, and they are not like this. But, you know, it's just like the bad apples. And then it's just like, when stuff like this happens, it comes on all of them.
Right.
And I just think that's very unfortunate.
Right.
It's very unfortunate. And then for me, it's just like, I'm a mother of a 32-year-old and a 30-year-old sons who drive, a 25-year-old daughter. I'm like, man, this could be us. And this happened, like, not too far from my house. I'm just like, wow. And then it's just like, when you have, like, cops like that, you put other cops and their families in these situations where people are not going to like them. People are going to come at them. People are going to come at their kids. And they just don't think. You know? Right. It's just like, I mean, why you just don't think? And then sometimes you look at it and do these people, should they have been cops in the first place?
Exactly.
And then, you know, it's just like, you can tell that, man, you can tell that they did this before. Mm-hmm. Just like, man, it's just like, I'm just so interested, when it's all said and done, what else is going to come out?
It's just like I said, it's some really, really, really good cops out here, both in the Shelby County and the Memphis MPD. But, you know, there's always some bad apples in there. And it don't matter if you're Black, white, Hispanic, Asian. If you're a bad person, you're a bad person.
Exactly. And then it's just like, when you put that uniform on, it just go up another level.
Right.
Some people just don't need to be in authority positions.
Exactly.
Because you're just a bad person regardless.
So true, so true.
Well, on that note, I appreciate you coming on with me. I know it got heavy at the end, but it's just like, you know, we just need to do better.
Yes.
I appreciate it. Cool. I talk, you know, well, we're going to be watching them Grizzlies tonight. So you think they're gonna win, but I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I really think that they're really just trying to get to the All-Star break, get that nine days off, and then come back in the 35 games left to play, and then go from there.
Well, thank you for being on with me. Believe in Grizzlies. I'll holler.
I'll talk to you later.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.